Over the next 3 weeks, the plan is for us to walk through our new five-year vision for Church at the Peak and to see and to unfurl what that might look like for the next 5 years and the type of ministry that we think the Church at the Peak might have in that time under God. Quite frankly, I think it's pretty exciting, and I hope you think it's pretty exciting as well. It's exciting to think where we've come from and what we've done in the last 10 and 5 years here at Church of the Peak, and how we might build on that foundation for the next 5 going forward. Now, if you're visiting with us this morning, this is not what we normally do. We normally unpack a section of God's Word. We work our way through a book of the Bible or a section of the book of the Bible. We allow God's Word to speak to us. But this next 3 weeks, we're setting aside to think about the vision. We're going to allow God's Word to shape that. We'll still be centered around God's Word. But that's where we're heading. So hopefully that gives you, if you are visiting with us, a little bit of a flavour of what we're on about as Church of the Peak and what we hope we might be in the years ahead. So today I want to sketch out that vision for you. We're going to unpack it starting today and then over the next 2 weeks as well. And so that, God willing, you understand that and you're captured by that and you're excited by that and you want to get on board with it as well. Now, before we look to the future, I think it's important that we look to the past and we see what we've achieved and done over the last 5 years through and under God and all that He's done. And because it's important to celebrate the things that we've done. We don't want to forget that. We want to recognise and rejoice in the good things that God has done in and through Church of the Peak these past 5 years. I remember someone telling me once that you're often disappointed or you don't achieve as much when you reflect back in 1 year of ministry, a church life. But when you look back over the past 5 years, you actually are surprised at what you have achieved and you actually achieve a lot. And I think that's true for what our experience at Church of the Peak. So let me just give you a snapshot of where we've come from in the last 5 years. So 5 years ago, we had 86 members here at church. Okay, that's 42 adults, 42 kids and 44 adults. This year, it's 123. 73 regular adults and 50 kids. That's an increase of 40%. Praise God for that. We had our biggest Sunday, regular Sunday in October with 107 people. So that's exciting. 2 years ago, 5 years ago, our giving was just over $71,000, which with a giving per unit or per person or family of $55 per person per week. This year, we're on track to be just under $150,000, an average of $73 per person per week. Now, it's not just about the money, but what giving shows is that people are maturing and growing in Christ. You don't give your money away unless you have a real heart for the gospel. I mean, it's abnormal. It's crazy to give your money away. You only do it if you love Jesus. You only do it if you're gripped by the grace of God. And what this shows us is that people here at Church of the Peak are getting on board with the gospel. They want to serve Jesus. They want to use the good resources that God has given them for the sake of His kingdom. So that's encouraging. We're maturing, and that generosity is evidence of that. So be encouraged, brothers and sisters, in that. 2 years ago, we set out to do something with our youth group and to leverage the opportunities that we have through our scripture connections here at Pico South. We started a junior youth group. We had 8 kids here from church who were going to be the core group of that youth group. The last 2 years, we've had 69 kids attend youth group. We have an average Friday evening attendance of 25. We're able to connect in with over 80 parents. And at one point during the year, we had 37 kids here on one of our Friday night youth. That's amazing. God has really answered our prayers on that. We're so thankful for what He's been able to do in that. One of our initiatives in our five-year plan last time was to start a highly visible ministry in and within the Pico South community. And so this year we started mainly music under the leadership of Simone and Jocelyn, Jackie, Cole, Pam and Linda, which is a musical playgroup that meets here in the hall on Monday mornings. And now we are regularly getting 15 families, carers and their kids, coming to that each Monday morning, and that team is connecting with them each and every Monday, building relationships, sharing their faith, inviting them to church. And so that's fantastic that we've been able to get to do that, and that those connections to bless and connect with the community are starting to roll on. 3 years ago, we had no formal welcoming ministry here at church. But now we have a welcoming team that's not just there and you know, handing out Bibles, but it's trained up. They know what they're doing. They're there on a Sunday to help people not just come in and arrive on a Sunday, but just introduce them to and help them get connected and integrated into the life of church. This year we started care groups to try and help look after one another here at church, those who are new and those who have been here for a long time, to pastoral care. Now, that's still in its infancy, and we want to grow that and develop it, but I'm already seeing the fruit of that as people are caring for one another, looking out for one another, praying for one another, meeting up outside of church as they relationally support and pastoral care for one another. We did our marriage and parenting seminars over these last few years, where we've had over 240 people come to those. Each year we've been doing our Toys and Tucker down at Mortdale Plaza. This year we connected with over 800 local people as they came in and did their shopping. That's fantastic. We've seen people come to know the Lord Jesus in that time. People reconnect with the Lord Jesus after walking away from him and from church. There is so much to be thankful for, friends, that God has done in and through Church of the Peak this last 5 years. And we want to rejoice in that and give thanks for that. However, we also want to be looking forward and seeing how we can continue to bring glory to God in through the ministry here at Church of the Peak. And that's what we're going to be focusing on over today and over the next 2 weeks. Early this year, our steering group, which is Lynn and Steve Dixon, Adam, Janelle, myself, Liana and Jocelyn, we've been meeting to pray, prioritise and plan for the next 5 years of Church of the Peak. And part of that process is reshaping our mission and vision to something that's memorable, but also God-honoring and simple. So here's our mission. Why do we exist? Well, Church of the Peak, we live to be and make disciples of Jesus. Really simple. Church of the Peak, we live to be and make disciples of Jesus. So being a disciple, that's ongoing, isn't it? Every day. You don't just become a disciple and that's it. Where it's a daily thing of being a disciple, and the outwork of that is making disciples of others. Now, our vision is where we want to get to. Our vision is this: by God's grace and for his glory, we'll be a growing and maturing church who know, love, serve and proclaim Jesus as Christ, as Lord and Saviour. We want to see everyone in Peakhurst and beyond transformed by the good news of Jesus. That's a pretty bold vision, isn't it? Everyone at Peakhurst and beyond transformed by the good news of Jesus. Now, we won't do that on our own, but then we need to pray about that. We need God to do his work in that. But that's a big goal. That's our aim. That's where we're heading. We want to see people come to know and be transformed by the gospel. Now, we're going to unpack that in more detail as we go, but let me show you how we might hope and pray that that will look like over the next 5 years. Our vision is to be this community of people that's so gripped by the gospel, so gripped by the good news of Jesus, that you can almost see the transformation happening in people's lives right in front of you. A church that's so joyful for what God has done for us in Christ, that we're constantly praying for constantly praying for and seeking opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with their friends and with our community. And as this good news of Jesus is shared with others and people see the joy and the contentment and the transformation in the lives that those that share it with them, well, they start asking questions. And we start to share the gospel and they start coming to church. And when they come to church on Sunday, they're greeted by friendly faces who welcome them and connect them in with others and help them integrate into the life of church and, more importantly, integrate into a relationship with Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Imagine what it would look like for Church of the Peak to be standing on its own two feet and become an independent church over the next 5 years. To be financially independent and be sufficiently big enough that we can leave the nest, so to speak, from Beverly Hills, our planting church, and become our own church and go on our own independent journey. Friends, that's not that far away. Imagine what it looked like over the next 5 years with our youth group continues to grow by 10 kids each year, so that over the next 5 years we have 70 kids coming to youth group in year 6 to 12. And that youth group is so large that we have to split it into junior and senior youth groups. And we have a part-time youth pastor who's not only helping lead that, but has developed a discipleship pathway, a training pathway for our senior kids who are being discipled and trained and equipped so that they can be assistant leaders with our junior youth group. Imagine what it looked like with that steady stream of senior high kids coming through youth group who've been discipled and are following Jesus, and they've been trained to disciple and equip other junior youth. Because you think about it, those kids who, our kids are in year 7 now, in 5 years' time, they're year 12. Right? Those of you in year 7 and 12, year 7 and 8 kids, they're leaving school. That's the critical time for youth, when they leave school. That's when they drop off. We need to invest in that. Imagine those kids coming through who've had that sort of training, equipping, discipling, and not only are they ready to live for Jesus once they leave high school, but that group's planning and thinking about starting a new church service for young adults in the 5 years to come after that. Imagine what it looked like with through the relationships and connections developed through mainly music, we start to see this steady trickle of families and their kids coming to church on a Sunday wanting to find out more about Jesus. Or what it might look like when those connections and outings that we have with youth group parents when we have our youth outings, and those connections start resulting in those families coming to church at Christmas and Easter, and some of them want to sign up for our Life of Jesus course and check out more about Christ. Imagine if we had a part-time mission pastor whose job was to motivate and mobilise and mature us at church so that we felt equipped and excited in sharing our faith and inviting people to church, and so that we had 3 to 5 people coming, new people coming to church every Sunday. Imagine what it might look like if there was people here at church who were so gripped by the gospel that they would give up one day work a week to teach scripture, so that all the classes that are here at Peter South were taught by Church of the Peak people. In fact, we had more than we needed, and we're putting people over Peakhurst West as well. Or people who were gripped by the gospel and wanted to retire early so that they could get involved in church ministry. Just like Cole did. Cole's retired early. Can't get him out of here. He loves the place. What about, imagine the people who are so excited by Jesus, they put their job and their career on hold for 2 years and did a ministry training apprenticeship because they would want to explore what full-time ministry might look like. And we had 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 ministry training apprentices here at Church of the Peak. Imagine what would happen, friends, if our community had an opportunity under God to hear the gospel and therefore be transformed by that. Because it's what the good news of Jesus that brings transformation to people's lives and therefore to communities. How radical would that be? How exciting would that be? That'd be pretty scary as well, wouldn't it? But pretty exciting, pretty amazing. Now that's going to take baby steps. We're not going to do it all in the next 6 months, you might be pleased to know. We're planning and praying that that's something that we might be able to do under God over the next 5 years. Now to help us get there, we're going to need people to help us do it. And while it's very sad that we're not going to have Daniel and Hannah with us next year, if you don't know, Daniel is moving on to his next church as part of his ordination training. He's had 2 years with us, he's had 2 years with another church. He and Shannon and the kids have been a great blessing to us. Similarly, Hannah is moving away down to Corrible with her family at the end of the year. So we're going to be losing those guys. We're going to be farewelling them on the 17th of December. But I'm very grateful to God for answering prayers for new leaders, because joining us next year will be Hayley Bogue. Hayley's a third year student at Moore College. She'll be joining us on our youth ministry team. Hayley has done lots of ministry at University of New South Wales with the uni church there, and more recently with Narrabeen Camaray as a student minister, and also Glen Quarry Anglican. She's really excited to be come and join our youth team next year. Now, I'm also really excited to let you know that John DeLizio is going to be joining our team next year as our part-time mission pastor. So that's amazing, right? John's just finished his ministry training apprenticeship. He's just also wrapping up his advanced diploma in theology. John has a great heart for the gospel and wanting people to come to know and love Jesus. And John's role is going to be, as a mission pastor, is helping to do what we're saying earlier, to mature, motivate, mobilize us as a church to get on with the job of being disciple-making disciples. How great is it going to be to have someone who can just drive us and help us and lead us in that area? Now, the wonderful blessing for us is that through the generosity of others and various grants that John's been able to access, John is pretty much coming to us self-funded. Well, you know the financial things that we've been going through this year. We don't have the money to pay, but John is able to come to us through the generosity of others. And that's amazing. Amazing provision from God. So John will be with us 3 days a week doing as a mission pastor. And we're currently talking to the principal at the moment about seeking funding to have a chaplain appointed here at Pico South. Now, Natasha Eden is really keen on that. She's applied for that funding. And we're praying that she might select John to be that chaplain. Now, I don't have to say that. That's her decision. But it'd be great if John could be a part-time chaplain there, part-time mission pastor, and then he'd be full-time doing ministry. So pray for that, that he'd be the one that she would choose. Being Santa on Friday might have helped, so we'll see. I'm also in discussion with someone to come on board as a male student minister next year. That's still in discussion, so I can't say too much about that as yet. If that happens, that will be a fantastic outcome. Even though Jocelyn is her community chaplaincy scholarship comes to an end this year through Anglican Deaconess Ministries, Jocelyn is going to continue running and leading our mainly music ministry, as well as supporting me with administration support, which I so much value. So it's great to that Jocelyn will still carry on with that. Just one other small change. Liana is going to be stepping down from leading our kids' church ministry to help focus or get involved with Altitude Youth next year with myself and others. And so that means she can't do kids' ministry. So Janelle Bryant, I've asked Janelle to pick that up and carry that on. Janelle's been involved with our kids' church for years, and she has lots of energy, great ideas. She has a real passion and heart for serving you with children and serving the kids. And I'm looking forward to her picking up that role next year. Now, how are we going to do this? How are we going to execute, deliver, go forward with this vision? How are we going to be and make disciples of Jesus and see everyone in Pecos and beyond transformed by the good news of Christ? Well, we're going to do it by focusing on 4 E's. Now, you might be familiar with our 5 E's. We've trimmed it, make it a bit simpler. Okay. All right, so establishing Christians, that's all about deepening spiritual maturity, growing in faith. Okay, that's important. You don't just become a Christian and stay where you are. We want to keep growing everyone, regardless of where they're at, maturing people in Christ. We also want to be engaging the community, connecting with unbelievers, getting out there, doing whatever we can in our personal lives as a church. And when we make connections with our community, we want to evangelize those contacts, reach the lost, share the gospel, so that people have an opportunity to respond to the good news of Jesus. And then finally, equipping each other, that is training and empowering each other to exercise our gifts. How do we as a church body utilise the good gifts that God has given us for the building up of the body? 4 key areas, okay? Establishing Christians, engaging the community, evangelising our contacts, and equipping each other. And over the next 3 weeks, I want to unpack our mission and vision and explore what it's going to mean to buy into and to live out this personally and corporately as a church. Now, today I want to focus on the first part of our mission. At Church of the Peak, we live to be and make disciples. So let's focus on what it means to be a disciple of Christ. So, friends, I want you to turn back to your Bibles, Mark chapter 8. Now, this is a key point in Mark's gospel where the disciples have spent years with Jesus, 8 chapters with Jesus, hearing him preach, seeing his miracles, seeing him in action. Finally, they get to this tipping point where they recognise that he's the Christ. They've been hanging out with him for all this time. They worked out that he's the promised Messiah of God. The evidence is clear. And so Peter, with all the disciples, say, "You are the Christ." However, at this stage, they failed to understand what type of Christ Jesus should be. What's the nature of Jesus as the Christ? They're expecting a king, one who's going to come and overthrow the Romans and restore Israel to its glory days. If that's the Christ that they've gone out preaching and teaching, they would have been proclaiming the wrong Christ. And so Jesus has to teach them what it means for him to be the Christ. And he does that there immediately in verse 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. You see, Jesus is saying that he's teaching the disciples they need to abandon their idea of the Christ. They need to understand instead that instead of conquest and power and greatness, as the Christ, Jesus is going to come, has come in humility and weakness, and he's going to die. They have to flip their understanding of Jesus on its head. And notice that in that verse 31, Jesus says he must suffer and die. He's going to explain a little bit later in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the reason he must suffer and die is because he's come as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ's mission to come and die is to pay the ransom price for the sins of the world. And unless he dies, you and I and the rest of the world would otherwise be left to face God's judgment on our own. And friends, you don't want to stand before God and his judgment on judgment day and stand before him with your sins unpunished. It's a frightening thought to come before the Lord with only your sins between you and him. Therefore, if forgiveness of sin is to be made possible, Jesus must die. Now, once he's made that clear, that he's the Christ who must die and suffer to pay the ransom price for sin, he begins to outline to those who are with him what it means to be a disciple, someone who follows him. Now, you know, with our social media in the last 8-10 years, we've seen this massive shift, haven't we, in how we communicate and network in our society, don't we? There's this huge shift in that we can instantly know what people are doing and saying and thinking. Those that we follow, those that we're connected with. All you have to do is log on, find the person that you're interested in or the celebrity that you're interested in, click follow, and you automatically know what they're up to, what they're thinking, where they've been, what coffee they're drinking, what messages and status updates and tweets they're giving. You'll know exactly who they are, where everything about them. You can follow Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, Donald Trump, the Dalai Lama, doesn't matter. Katy Perry, apparently, has 94 million Twitter followers. Some of you might not know what Twitter is. It's a way of following people on social media. You might even know who Katy Perry is. I don't hardly know who Katy Perry is, to be honest. She's famous, right? She has lots of people who are interested in following her. 94 million. Now, what does Katy Perry expect of her 94 million Twitter followers? Nothing. They can follow her every move, see when she's performing, see what pearls of wisdom that she has to offer. But they're completely passive. They don't have to do a thing to be a follower of Katy Perry. In complete contrast, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus says, if you want to be part of my kingdom, if you want to share in the blessing of having your sins forgiven, and the ransom price being paid for you, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And so being a disciple of Jesus, friends, and this is what we want to be as a church, being a disciple of Jesus means you must deny yourself. We must deny ourselves. Life is no longer centered around you and your desires and your priorities. Life instead centers around Jesus. Life being a disciple of Jesus has him at the center. We shift from doing our will to doing Jesus' will. He dictates the drumbeat with which we walk in life. And if that's not radical enough, Jesus says you've got to take up your cross. Now, this has nothing to do with the little burdens that we bear in life. You know, some people say, oh, I've all got a cross to bear. And they're talking about their snoring husband or that painful work colleague. No. Jesus and his disciples and those who were there at the time would have understood that this meant something very different. You see, the image of someone taking up their cross is the image of a condemned man carrying his own crossbeam to his own crucifixion, just as Jesus would soon do as part of his own mission. And what Jesus means is that we all must go through this a death-like experience if we're to hand our life over to him. In other words, following Jesus means we die to self. That's what he's saying. He's saying you've got to take up the cross. And finally, disciples of Jesus are to follow him. We've got to listen to him, as we sang in our kids' talk, obey him, and hear his call on your life. You see, following Jesus is far from passive. It's not like being a Katy Perry Twitter follower. Following Jesus is full on, active, boots and all, with Jesus at the centre of your life. Not on the periphery, right in the middle. And Jesus lays it right on the line from the start. Now, there's a couple of things to note here. First of all, is if you and I are going to be disciples of Jesus, this is what it's going to take. Live for him, die to self, follow the Saviour. You can't say, this is my life and I'm a Christian and but Jesus is on the side, on the periphery. I like my comforts and I'll just keep Jesus here where it doesn't impact too much. Can't do that. We can't say, I've got a family to take care of and I'll juggle that with Jesus and just leave him over here on the side. No, Jesus at the centre. We can't say, I just want to make sure I'm financially secure, and then when I'm financially secure, then I'll take Jesus seriously and I'll start following him. No, Jesus now. Follow me. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, this is one of the reasons why one of our strategic areas of focus is establishing Christians. We want to see people not just come to know and trust Jesus. We want to see people, everyone here at church and those who come into our midst, deepen in their faith, deepen in their spiritual maturity as they grow and become more like him. Now, how do we do that? Well, it's very simple. We just need to keep reminding ourselves of the gospel. As we need to keep allowing the Holy Spirit to apply the Word of God to our hearts so that they might be transformed and our idols dismantled and our temptations taken away so that we would live to be disciples of Jesus who are willing to live for him, deny ourselves and follow the Saviour. Now that might sound really simplistic, but that's what it's about. It's crucial that we focus on the gospel and ramming that into our hearts deeper and deeper and deeper. Because unless you get the gospel, friends, unless you understand that Christ has come and he's paid that price for you, and without him, you have to face God in judgment alone. Unless you believe it and are constantly reminded of that, then you're not going to change. You're not going to grow. You won't transform. Spiritual transformation, spiritual maturity, spiritual growth only comes when we soak ourselves in the good news of Jesus. Well, to do that, we need to have the Word of God deeply entrenched in our hearts. As research done by the Center for Biblical Engagement in the States shows that when a person engages in the Bible four or more times a week, their odds of sinfulness and sinful living go down. Right, so your odds of drinking to excess, viewing pornography, gambling, lashing out in anger, gossip, lying, neglecting family, all goes down. See, that godliness increases with time spent in God's Word. You neglect God's Word, you can be sure that you're going to see these things creep into your life. So if you go to church, if you go to growth group, if you're regularly in God's Word throughout the week, you're going to be a growing, maturing disciple of Christ. It's not rocket surgery, is it? It's simple. In the Word of God, allowing him to shape and mould our hearts. Some research done by the Centre for Ministry Development here, you can't see this but too well because of the screen. What it's saying is those who are growing in faith, so here, much growth, okay? Much growth for people to say that they're growing in faith. Much higher likelihood to share their faith, much higher likelihood to invite people to church, much more generous than those who report little or no growth in maturity. How do you grow in faith? How do you mature? Getting the Word. The gospel shapes and molds you, matures you to be like Jesus. The Centre for Biblical Engagement showed similar results. Those who are in the Word are much more likely to be giving financially, generously to church, memorising Scripture, discipling others, sharing their faith, and giving to other Christian causes. Why? Because the Spirit of God is transforming your heart, your life. as the Word of God and the Gospel is applied to it. Now, you might remember last year we did the National Church Life Survey. The results from that came back early in the year. What it showed is that only 32% of us are regular Bible readers who read it almost daily. So therefore, one of our key goals here at Church of the Peak over the next 5 years is to grow that. We want to see our church congregation, the people at the Peak, as people who are regularly reading the Word, grow that from 32 to 60% over the next 5 years. In addition, only 58% of us are currently in a growth group. We want to grow that to 80% over the next 5 years. That's our target, right? 80% of church people here at Church of the Peak are in a growth group. 60% of people are reading their Bible regularly. So it's critical, therefore, that we want to keep encouraging and strengthening each other to become established as Christians if we're going to be this healthy, God-honouring church that lives to be and make disciples of Jesus. And so three things I want to be urging you to do next year and for the next 5 years is three things. Being a regular, committed member of church, being here on Sundays, sitting under the Word of God, being a committed, regular member of a growth group, and being committed to doing some form of devotional activity each day, reading the Bible, listening to sermons, spending time praying. Why? Not so you can tick a box, so that the Spirit of God can apply that word as you read it, as you sit under it, as you hear it, to shape and mould your heart and transform you to be more like Jesus. Thanks, Tim. Now, we want to help you with that, enable that, by being the best preachers we can be, by having as many growth groups as possible that you can attend and helping equip our growth group leaders to be the best leaders they can be, and also providing you with resources, devotions, apps to aid you in your quiet times. There's another thing we want to work on to help establish Christians deepen spiritual maturity, and again it flows out of the NCLS survey that we did last year. The number of kids that kids related to our church families, 15 and over, still living at home and still attending church is only 54%. We want to grow that, so see that increase to over 70 in the next 5 years. It's vital that we care for and nurture our kids coming through so that they continue walking with Jesus, not just for the next 5 years, but for the next 55 years. And so that's something we've got to work hard on as we establish the faith and the maturity in our young ones coming through. Now, we understand it takes a village to raise a child, and church is part of that village, and therefore our plans to grow youth group over the next 5 years will be part of that. But we also want to develop a discipleship pathway for our teens those young adults, so that they continue growing and living for Christ through those high school years into adulthood. And one of our goals is to get to the point where we can appoint a part-time youth worker who can lead them in this vital ministry and develop those pathways and train and equip them in that. Well, friends, that's part one of three. Okay? I hope you're excited for 2018 and the next 5 years. God has placed us here in this church family to bring glory to Him. And as a church, we will do that by being, as we live to be and make disciples of Jesus. And our vision to be a growing, maturing church for His glory. A growing, maturing church who know, love, serve and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, to see everyone in Peakhurst and beyond transformed by the good news of Jesus. And we're going to do that by establishing Christians, engaging the community, evangelising our contacts and equipping each other. Friends, I believe this is a new and exciting phase of life at Church of the Peak. New ministry opportunities are before us. And it's an exciting phase. And it's a phase where we pray that under God we'll begin to stand on our own two feet and become independent. Where we expand our ministry to youth and young adults. Where we deepen our reach into the school and the local community. And where we bring life-transforming news of the gospel to people here at Church of the Peak and those that we connect with. And as we head into the next 5 years, friends, I want to ask you to join with me in praying for and being committed to that vision.